Hallelujah. I just want to read from Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 12. I know I don't need to read it. I know you all know it, but I'm going to read it anyway. It says, for the word of God, the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit. And that's what's going on out there. It's cutting between soul and spirit, because the soul men are going by in their big cars and their little cars, and they're getting the window down and they're getting the cameras out and they're filming as they go by, and the soul's saying, what's going on? The spirit's crying out, save me! Save me! Stop and listen! But they can't handle that battle that's going on inside of them right now. So they say, rubbish, or whatever else it is they're saying. But there's a battle going on. We're praying right now for all those people who are upset, all those people who are agitated, all those people who are being stirred to violent thoughts and violent speech by the word of God. Because the word of God is quick and powerful, and it is piercing. And we are piercing the darkness with it. It's the sword of the Spirit in the hand of the saints of the living God. And that's us. And if you haven't read it, don't let this opportunity go. Even if it's only a few verses. Years from now, when the revival's hit and the church is twice the size and it's full and it's having five meetings a day and it's down to the seed of the word of God, the incorruptible seed, you'll be able to say, I was there when they planted that seed. I played a part when they did that reading. That reading of the word of God from Genesis to Revelation, that seemed like nothing, but it was something for eternity. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between the joints and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. That's why people don't like it. We don't want our innermost thoughts and desires on public display, do we? Or even on personal display. I don't want to know some of the things that I find out about me. But the word of God exposes them. Because God loves me. And He wants to change me. And He's been changing me. But it's a lot of work for Him to do. He's got a big job. All of us. The innermost thoughts and desires. Nothing is in all creation is hidden from God. Everything is naked and exposed. Somebody said, I had a nice suit on before. That's very kind of them, wasn't it? But really, I stand here naked. God sees right through me. He knows everything about me. He knows my thoughts. He knows where they wander off to. He knows the things that come into my mind, the battles that I go through. And He knows that about you. You think you've got a nice dress on. Well, you're naked before God. I'm glad you're not naked before us, but you're not. But you are naked before God. He knows. You've got no secret. Don't be thinking nobody knows. Because maybe nobody does know. But you know. And God knows. And that's enough. Exposed before His eyes. And He is the one to whom we are accountable. That's Hebrews 4:12-13. We should digest those verses. Consider those verses. Think about those verses in the quiet place on your own. It's got nothing whatsoever to do with this sermon. But I just felt, because Steppy had mentioned the fact that Jesus is the living word of God and this is the written word of God, and they are inseparable, and I was actually going to start with the living word of God. My sermon does begin now. John 1:1, which says, in the beginning, what's the word? Come on, I know you know. The word was with God, and the word was God, and all things were made by Him. You know what the Message translation says? I know people don't like the Message translation. Somebody said to me once, you'll be reading the Beano next. Don't worry about that. If you like the Message translation, you read it. Because God will speak to you through it. Right, but this is what it says. The Word was first. Jesus was first. He was first. He is first. And He will always be first. The Word was first. And so while I'm preaching in here, the reading of the Bible out there continues. It's going on. It's been relentless through the night. It's been quite wonderful. There's been good fellowship. There's been prayer. People have been set free. Emily, I'm sorry. I'm going to give you public. I've never heard this woman set free in prayer like I've heard her this morning. I thought, why is that African woman so English? Why is she so delicate? Why doesn't she pray like a proper African? And this morning, the lion was released. The lion was released. Amen. And if there's a lion inside you, and you, and you, and you, let him out. Or her out. Let her out. Roar. Roar. For God. Hallelujah. Oh. Because we believe, don't we, that the Bible is the inerrant Word of God. That's why we're reading it. We're not reading it for fun, are we? It's not been fun. It's been hard work. It's not fun. But we believe it's the inerrant Word of God given to men. We believe that God gave it as a way of revealing Himself to men. And He's revealing Himself to us now. And He's revealing the lions inside of us to come out. He's revealing a better us with His Word. We know it's the most powerful book ever written. Heard that before in the breaking of bread. It's powerful. Some people hate it. They hated Jesus without a cause. They've tried to destroy it. They've tried to bomb it. I remember reading a story once. There was a Bible society in Poland somewhere. I can't remember. Warsaw, I suppose. I've got a friend there right now. And the Germans blitzed it, didn't they? And they captured a lot of the Jews particularly, and they put them in concentration camps, and they blitzed Warsaw. There was virtually nothing left of Warsaw. And after the war, when they moved in to try and clean up the mess, there's this rugged piece of wall jutting up out of the rubble. And the wall was a part, the top of a staircase. And on the wall was a poster, and it said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My words shall not pass away." And they pulled the bricks and the rubble and the wood from it. And there's a door leading down a staircase. And they opened the staircase, and there were thousands and thousands of Bibles stored there by the Bible Society. And they were able to distribute them immediately to the hungry, desperate, spiritually desperate people. The Word of God will not pass away. My Word will last forever. Hallelujah. Oh, and that's why it's still a bestseller. That's like year after year after year. That woman that writes about little wizards and things like that, she does all right for herself. But the Bible outsells her every year. Amen. And in so many countries, it's illegal to even own one. You can be locked in prison for having one. You know that? Or for passing one on to somebody else, you'd think you were passing heroin. You can get life. You can even lose your life in some countries. And so we're so privileged. So mollycoddled, really, truth known, aren't we? People in those countries think they can control the Word of God. People in China, when Chairman Mao came into power at China with his other three mates, the Gang of Four, we're not having any more of that Western stuff. You can't listen to Beethoven anymore. You can't read English or American literature anymore, and you're definitely not reading that Bible. God is no God, only Chairman Mao. You can read a little red book, what I give you. Chairman Mao's little red book. You read this, and you read it religiously, because it's religion. There ain't no religion. That's religion. Worship the emperor. That's religion. You know, there was 1 million Christians. Many of them were taken out into the square, and they were beaten. They were spat upon. They all had to cut their hair the same way, wear the same stuff. People would go past on the way to work, and them Christians, on the way past, they'd kick them on the way out, they'd kick them on the way back. They'll get rid of them. Do you know what? By the time Chairman Mao was put in the ground dead, never to rise again, to rot and be eaten by worms, there were 50 million Christians in China, and now there are 200 million. Hey, the Word of God shall not pass away. Quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. So many times Satan's tried to remove it from the earth. If he can't remove it, in countries like this one, when we've all got freedom of speech, so they tell us, He tries to discredit it, ridicule it, make it... No, intelligent people don't still think of that as being the truth. It's all myths. It's all stories. Well, it's changed my life, and I don't know how it did it. If it's just a bunch of fairy tales, it's just completely turned me around. I'm a gambler, sometimes as much as £6,000 in a day, smoking 60 cigarettes, doing whatever I want for my own pleasure and entertainment and not caring a thing about anybody else. And then a few years, or even a few months later, all that's gone. Am I deprived because I can't smoke me 60 cigs anymore? I can't womanise and do whatever else I want to do. I can't go on the racetrack. I can go on the racetrack if I want. I can. I don't want. Because God's took the want to do all those bad things out of me. And he's put new wants inside of me. How does a fairy tale do that? Fairy tales can't do that. The word of God is living and powerful, piercing, dividing the soul from the spirit. That's how it does it. Supernaturally. Whenever we read and study the Bible, we've got to know. Affirm. Say it as you sit down. I went out there the other day. Yesterday. I mean, days are running into days, aren't they? But I was reading something. I think it was Deuteronomy 28. Maybe it wasn't. Maybe it's 30-something, 33. Anyway, I don't know. I'm reading it. And I'm like bouncing. I'm thinking, why do I spend 8 hours preparing a sermon that only lasts 15, 25, 40? All right, you got me. 40 minutes. Why do I do that when I could just read this? This is so powerful. It's more powerful than all my intelligence can ever devise. It's the Word of God. And it's wonderful. And it's changing lives. And it's changing lives this weekend. All over the world, I've been going live on Facebook. If you're not on Facebook, I've been going live. I've had reports back from South Africa, from Texas, from Warsaw, where that Bible Society was. I've had a text back from there, not a text, you know, messages on Facebook thing. I'm not that good with this. First time I ever did it the other night. It's a bit embarrassing because I'm saying, which button do I press next? And it's all live all over the world. But never mind. The Bible is the Word of God. And it's full of statements about who we are in Christ. And what's our inheritance as co-heirs with Christ. Because it does say we are heirs. If we belong to Christ, we are co-heirs with Him. You see, I haven't got a brother anymore. I used to. But we would have been co-heirs in my dad's estate. When my dad's still alive, and praise God for that. I hope he lives another 20 years. But we would have been heirs together. Me and my sister would be co-heirs in his estate. He probably hasn't got much to leave. That doesn't matter. The fact that it's the legal point is we're co-heirs. Well, Jesus has declared us to be co-heirs with him. So all the glories and the treasures of heaven belong to those who belong to Jesus. Amen. Isn't that wonderful? It's wonderful. And all of the glory, it says, very simply, the Bible tells us what belongs to us. But we have got to go and dig. We've been going through the Old Testament. It's not really always clear in the Old Testament. God's not, you know, he doesn't just put everything on a plate. He wants you to dig. He wants you to find it. He wants you to read it and think about it and meditate. Read it again, come back to it. 6 months later, a year later, and you'll say, wow, I read that before. I didn't see that. Because it's full of treasures, deeper and deeper and deeper. We've got South Africans in here. We've got at least one, Andrew. I don't know. I saw Bridget earlier. She's outside reading the Word of God. Hallelujah. But they have these stratospheres of clay in South Africa, and in the upper levels of clay, it was like it was yellow clay at the top, we found some diamonds. I thought, oh, this is wonderful. Diamonds in the clay. Diamonds on the soles of the shoes. Right? And they dug them out. But there weren't that many of them. Few and far between. Right? But then there's these layers of blue clay underneath. They never thought about them. When they found them and they dug deeper, there were diamonds all over the place. It was full of diamonds. Big ones. Great big ones. Shiny. Sparkly things. Well, they're not until they've polished them. But you know what I mean? But they have to dig a lot deeper to get the big diamonds, to get the real treasure deeper. And the thing with the Word of God, it's not about yellow clay and blue clay. It's going deeper and deeper and deeper. And it says, deep calls unto deep. And the further you go, the more you're in it, the more you enjoy it. And you affirm, and that's what I was saying. I went a long way around to say this. I'll tell you what.
Just affirm as you read the Word of God, I am receiving spiritual revelation. I am receiving from God. He is opening my mind. Holy Spirit, please open my mind and my heart to understand what you mean by this Word of God. What do you mean for me? Not him or her or them. Me. What do you mean for me, Father? Because I'm your son. Oh, I'm your daughter, and I'm talking to you right now, and I need you to explain to me and help me understand and affirm. I am receiving from the Word of God. You can affirm that right now where you're sitting. My pastor is preaching the Word of God to the best of his ability. He's giving it all he's got, and I'm receiving from heaven through that vessel of clay stood up there. You can say, I am receiving from God. Say it, go on. Amen. And you are. And you really are. And you can ignore me. Because if it was someone else, it could be Jim speaking or Eddie or anybody or Ella or anybody. Steppy. Doesn't matter. This is just a vehicle. Just a vessel of clay. But the Word of God is quick and powerful and pouring through. And it's pouring on you. And you're getting all wet. You're getting all splashed in the Word of God. Stand under the spout where the glory comes out. Amen. Jesus Christ is a little bit more explicit than those hidden diamonds in the Old Testament. He tells it like it is. We read the Gospels and Jesus pulls no punches whatsoever. You don't have to dig deep, but you can still dig deeper because there's more and more and more, even with what Jesus is saying. But the trouble with Jesus is some people can't handle what he says on the surface. So they ain't going to dig any deeper. It's only for us. These are the treasures for us. You see, these are the secret things that God has saved for the people who say, yes, Lord, I want your revelation. I want your Holy Spirit to come and lead me into all truth. And they can argue about it if they want. It can be arguing about Tolstoy and Shakespeare as well, or Dostoevsky it was, wasn't it? But they can be arguing about that other stuff all they like, and they can try and compare Scripture with that if they want to. But for those of us who know that Jesus is alive, for those of us that have been made alive by his death and his resurrection, we know there's more. There's always, always more. Hallelujah. So Lord, open our minds this morning. Open our minds. It's called revelation knowledge. Sometimes you wake up and you go, boom. I knew this. How do I know this? Nobody told me. Nobody taught me. I didn't read it anywhere. I just know. That's called revelation. It's the Holy Spirit. Do you know what? God wants us to have that all the time. Not just once every blue moon. Ooh. No. He wants us to live like that. Come on, Lord. Let's have a conversation. Let's get deep today. You know, this little fellow that was stood here last week, I spent a week with him on holiday. And I was telling him this last week. I haven't had this opportunity, really, with anybody else, not to the same degree. We sat and talked very, very late at night. Ladies had gone to bed. We sat and talked. You know what? We weren't talking about football. I like football. But we weren't talking about football. We weren't talking about cricket or politics. We were talking about the Word of God. And it was such a thrill, such a blessing, so many things. And the other day, this was back in February, last week before he came on a Wednesday, something that we were talking about way back dawned on me. Boom, the penny dropped. So I sent him a message on Facebook Messenger. I said, what we were talking about in February regarding predestination, the penny's dropped today. And he sent me one back and said, ha ha ha. You know how I do. People laugh on Facebook. It's ridiculous, isn't it? But he did. And he said, you will never believe what I'm coming to talk about on Sunday. You have so confirmed my sermon. But that's what God does. Why? Because he loves us as well. I mean, do you think Boris was a bit tickled by that? I was. I was thrilled by that. Because he loves us. And he wants us to have that relationship. I'm not going to get very far into this sermon. I haven't started it yet. But does it matter? I don't think it does it really? It doesn't matter. Praise the Lord. Let me just find a place where I can reasonably start and still finish. See, never mind, I'll just rabble until the clock goes. I've met some people down the years. A lot of them. You've probably met some. Maybe this week. I meet a lot of people who are old. Nothing wrong with being old. But I meet a lot of people who are lonely. Who are sick. All the time, every day, sick people. I don't mind that. And if I'm the only visitor they're going to get all week, I'm privileged to do that. I had a lady say to me the other day, it's a really lonely life, you know. My husband died 22 years ago. She lives out in a place called Hope Valley, somewhere in Derbyshire. And it's a lovely little village. But no one talks to her from around the village. She said, people don't talk anymore. They used to, but new people have moved in, and they don't talk. So there's people out there desperate. They've got sicknesses in their body. They're lonely. They have no one to speak to. They're living in, some of them, and they'll actually tell me, they're living a nightmare. And we've got the answer. We've got the light. And I quite often get to pray with these people. But I know that one day, I've been told off several times already, because some people do complain. And I get a roasting. Well, I don't care about that. But the point is, these people need us. There's people out there desperate. But you know what? There's young people desperate too. There's people who are married, who've got kids, who are going to work and coming back, and going to work and coming back, and see each other for a few hours maybe. But they don't see each other really, because they watch this visual image thing that they've contained in this wooden box, right? And they don't talk to each other, and they're lonely too. And they're lost too, and they've got problems too, and they get problems in their body. And you know what? That wooden box is telling them that's the way it ought to be. And you're going to grow old, you're going to get sick, you're going to die, because the world is telling them constantly a message that Satan wants them to understand as their life, as their history, even though it hasn't been there yet. This will be, you'll look back on this, and you'll say, look at all those years. I could have done something, but I didn't. That I wasted. Because there's three voices in this world. That's where I'm going to go to. That's where I'm going to finish. I'll just forget all this. What are my three voices? Hallelujah. Three voices. You know what the voices are. The first voice is the voice of this world. And it comes through your radio, and your telly, and your newspapers, and your mates, and your work colleagues. Listen, if you don't watch the telly, if you starve your mind of all that life-sapping rubbish so you can build your spirit up, someone else will come and tell you that there's an earthquake, or there's people being killed, or there's been a terrorist attack, or something. Someone will be left alone to tell you, as we read about in the book of Job. And the voices of the world will be coming in all the time. You know you're going to get sick. You know you're not entitled to live that prosperous life. That's not for us. But we're just the peasants. We just have to live a poor life. But we'll get by. We'll get by. And in the end, we'll get our glory. I don't read that in the Bible. I don't read in the Bible, as preachers have preached, that we have to live a life of desperation and poverty. But when we get to heaven, that's when we'll be rich. We won't. The streets will be paved with gold there. We'll be full of the glory of God there. But what are you saying then? What are you saying? So they get to sin now, while we're all pious hiding behind the church doors, getting nothing. And we get to sin later, in heaven. That ain't right, is it? I can't be right. So the world's telling us lies. And sometimes the preachers are also telling us lies to control us. Right? I am not trying to control you. I'm telling you that Jesus came to set you free. Right? So the world's voice, if you want to keep listening, think about Goliath. Goliath's there confronting the he's a Philistine, he's confronting the children of Israel. And he's blasting out, "You're all chicken. Come on, fire me a champion. I'll fight your champion. And then if you beat me, we'll serve you. If I beat you, though, you've all got to serve us. You're going to be our slaves." And this little kid comes, brought some cheese for his big brothers. He says, "Who's in there?" Philistine, uncircumcised. "Who is he?" His brothers say, "You just mind your own business. It's not for you, this." He said, "No, hang on. He's talking to my people. Who is he?" "He's a Goliath giant. He's been there for ages. He's just..." "Well, why aren't we fighting him?" "Oh, no one wants to take him on." "Well, I will." "Don't be stupid. Where's the king?" He goes in to seek Saul. "Saul, you don't have to worry anymore. I'm here now. What do you want?" He said, "I've come to fight that giant." You can't fight him. You're just a kid. He's been a warrior from his youth up. He'll eat you. Oh, no, he won't. There's lions and bears come after me. And the same God that delivered me from them will deliver that uncircumcised Philistine into my hands. Oh, the voice of the world. Oh, no, you're too little. You can't cope. You won't be able to do it. You're not trained up enough. I've been talking to people recently in the last few weeks. I've discovered this guy called Cliff Young. Do you know that Cliff Young? 61. Me, I'm 61. 61 years of age. He turns up at this marathon in Melbourne, Australia. And they're going to run from Melbourne to Sydney. It's 834 kilometres. That's a long way. He's 61. He's got his wellies on. Wellies. Honest. Gum boots, he calls them, but they're wellies. He said, "What do you want?" "I've come to run the race." These guys are all wearing their Nike trainers and they've been training for a year and all fit as fiddle. You know, not an ounce of fat on any of them. "Have you had any training?" "Nope. Just chasing between sheep round the fields. Been chasing them sheep round the fields for years. I could do this." "Go on, let's let him do it. He'll be a laugh, won't it?" Hey, they run for 16 hours. He's plodding along miles behind in his wellies. They called it the Cliff Young Shuffle. Because it's hard to run in wellies, isn't it? They all go to bed for 6 hours. Catches him up. Day two, he's in front. He took 2 days off the 6.5 day record of running from Melbourne to Sydney. He blew him out of the water. 61 years of age in his wellies. It's true. You can Google him. It's a true story. He's on there talking. They give him the prize money. $10,000 Australian. Oh, I didn't do this for money. He parcels it up into 5 lots of 2,000. And as the next guys were coming in, "Yeah, go on. You have that. You deserve it. You've worked, you've run hard. You've worked really well." Oh, there you go. And he gave the 10,000 away to the next 5 runners. And they said, "You can't do it." He said, "No, I'm not listening to the voice of the world. I'm not listening to what you say. There's another voice inside of me. It's the voice of the Holy Ghost. It's the voice of the Word of God. I know what's inside of me. And I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." There's another man. He was a boy at the time. I can't remember his name now. I wanted to look it up last night. I've had no time to prepare. So I've not got my facts exactly right. But it's a true story and I can find you the person if you want. He's 13 years of age and he's got a deadly disease. And the doctor's telling his mum, and he's listening. He's not supposed to be, but he can hear. And the doctor says to his mum, "Look, I lost my own son to the same disease. And there is no hope. I'm sorry." And she says, "Well, doctor, what would you do if it were your son?" The doctor says, "Well, I'd fight till his last breath. But there is no hope and there is no cure. We'll be praying for you. We'll support you. We'll do whatever we can. But there is no hope." The little fella's hearing it. He's hearing this word. "They just told me I'm going to die. They've just told me I've got no future. They've told me I've got no life. I'm sat here all weak and weedy and braces on my legs and all this. And they've told me my life's over. I'm not going to listen to that. I am not going to hear that. I heard it with my ear, but I am now dismissing it from my head. And I am going to confess with my mouth that I am whole. Whole, perfect, strong, powerful, loving, harmonious and happy." And he starts to confess that over his own life every day. "Whole, perfect, strong, powerful, loving, harmonious and happy. I am strong." But you know what happened? He became whole, perfect, strong, powerful, loving, harmonious and happy. And I heard a tape of him recording as an old man telling a story, going back to those days when he was 13 and saying how devastated his mum was to hear it. But I wasn't having that. And a little bit into his recovery, he thought, "This is good for me. It must be good for others." And all the people he knew who were poorly in some way or suffering in some way, he started to confess that prayer over them. "My friend is whole and perfect and strong, powerful, loving, harmonious and happy." And you know those words cover everything. I say, "Oh, it's a bit new agey." Someone said that to me. "Oh, that sounds a bit new agey." Well, if it's new agey and it saved the 13-year-old boy to be an old man, we got to look at why is it working for them and not for us. But it ain't new agey. You see, because the Bible says, I will make you every bit whole. Jesus says, it says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord, you will be saved. That word saved, we do not understand. You know, we think of saved as, well, you got it. You say, well, could have been a goal. But he said, well done. No, it means every bit whole. It means spiritually, emotionally, mentally, physically, financially, in your relationships, all of it. Abundant life, saved. The word is sozo, the Greek word sozo, every bit whole. So when he's saying, I am whole, he's agreeing with the word of God. He's agreeing what the word says, I am whole, I'm perfect. Oh no, you're not perfect, but you can't be perfect in this life. Well, my Bible says I am. Jesus says you be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. And we are perfect. We ain't finished. I used to talk about my plum tree, but I don't have it anymore. But the plums on that, when they were tiny little green dots, if you happen to be stuck between your teeth, they were perfect plums. They weren't ready. You couldn't eat them. You had to wait till autumn. Now, about now. Be full of them now. 150 pounds of these glorious, big, juicy Victoria plums. Perfect for eating. Ready and ripe. But they were perfect right from the word go. And they were perfect all the way through. And you're perfect in God's sight if you're walking in God's way. So you're whole and perfect, strong and powerful. What about? Oh, I don't feel strong. But the Bible says that's your fault. Because it says, let the weak say, I am strong. Confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord. Believe in your heart. God raised him from the dead and you'll be saved. Confess with your mouth. Hey, that's the other way around. Jesus in another place says, well, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But what gets in your heart, well, it's what you let there. If you're going to sit watching all that world coming at you from every direction, listening to all them people, all the terrible negative lessons every day, that's what will be in your heart. But if you say, nope, I'm going to confess out the word of God, I'm going to read it to the district, I'm going to read it over the people of Inley Green are whole, perfect, strong, powerful, loving, harmonious and happy. Right? And some of them will start to respond to that in the spirit. So you can be strong. It's your fault if you're not. Let the weak say, I am strong. I'm powerful. Jesus says, all power is given unto me and I'm passing it on to you. You're powerful. What about loving? Well, that's your choice. Choose to be loving. Choose to love, to respond with love. And the people go past, some lady went past filming me before. I hope it's on the telly. Hey, that's me, I'm on the telly. I don't know why she wanted to film me. Three or four people have filmed me or photographed me while I've been out there. I'm sure you've all had it. I love her. I don't know her. But God's given me a love for the lost. That's why we're here. So I'm loving. Harmonious. Well, sometimes I'm not. Sometimes I'm cantankerous. Sometimes, you know, I'm quite argumentative. My wife said the other day I'm aggressive. And then Jim agreed with her. So at least they're in harmony, eh? But I'm harmonious most of the time. And if I'm not, just forgive me and love me. And we'll soon be harmonious again. Because we have to forgive one another, don't we? Harmonious and happy. I am. I mean, do I look happy or do I look miserable? I feel happy. So if I look miserable, it's just because I'm a bit tired, I suppose. And if I'm tired, they should be even tired of these lot because they've been up all night and I actually went to bed. Eventually. Anyway, it's time to stop. It's time to stop. But the answer is this. The world's talking with one voice. And we're all hearing it every day and we can't help it. And the word of God is talking with another voice. And there's a third voice, and whose voice is that? Your voice. What you repeat, what you say. You say it. You get hold of that. I don't know if you've remembered it, but I am whole, perfect, strong, powerful, loving, harmonious, and happy is not a bad place to start. Because there's nothing more than that. I am whole. Because Jesus has made me whole. I am perfect because he's declared it to be so. I'm not finished, but I'm perfect. I am strong. I'm stronger than I was 18 months ago. I couldn't lift my chairs 18 months ago. I thought I'd never be able to do this. So I try to lose a bit of weight and put a bit of muscle on and I'm a bit stronger. I'm not Samson. But I'm stronger. And I am powerful. And I am harmonious and loving and happy. And I want you to be that too. So Lord, I'm just praying for my brothers and sisters right here.
We hear your word.
Yeah, we hear them voices from the world. A lot of voices screaming at us from all over the place. The world's got a lot to say. Lord, we're not going to listen. We're listening to your word, and the words that come out of our mouth are going to agree with you. And you have declared that if we will agree with each other and we'll agree with you, whatever we ask for, we will receive it. So, Lord, have your way in our lives. Lord, make this people whole, perfect, strong, powerful, loving, harmonious, and happy in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. That's all my heart to fear, and grace my faith with a precious day. That grace appear the hour I first believe. Through many tried, just toils and snares, I have safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, this great to sing God's praise than when we first began.
Amen.
diddly, 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 diddly.